chapter 2. Thank you, gentlemen. That was refreshing. The only person that the person that enjoys around the most really is the person that sits up here and listens. That's where it's really good. But none of us got to sit up here. All right. 1 John chapter 2. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee. Lord, as we consider the Holy Word of God tonight, we pray that we might understand it, that the Spirit of God might make it plain to us. Lord, there might be some young people here, some older folks here, who really, truly are not saved and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they're fooling themselves. We pray, Lord, that they might see it and come for salvation tonight. We trust Thee for blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. What does all this mean? The first sentence, second word, that. Let that therefore abide. What does that mean? It means the doctrine of Christ. That's what the that means. How do I know that? Because it is explained to us in the previous verses. For instance, verse 22 says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? The doctrine of Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father, and the Son, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you. What is the that? It is the doctrine of Christ. Let the doctrine of Christ abide in you. If you have the doctrine or the truth of Christ in you, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Him then. If you have the doctrine in you, you have Christ in you. Verse 27 tells us that. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. The anointing, that's the Spirit of God within you and the Lord Jesus Christ within you. And it abideth in you, that ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. So it is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have the doctrine of Christ in you, you also have Christ in you. Now, that's the first sentence. Let that, therefore, abide in you. The doctrine of Christ. The second sentence of verse 24 starts with, if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you. If the doctrine is part of you, you're saved forever. You're in the Son. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall what? Continue in the Son. You're saved forever. This verse and other verses like it are very important to our ministry. And I said our ministry. It is not just the preacher's ministry, it is our ministry. We are workers together with Him. Why is this verse important? Number one, we have people come down the aisle every once in a while for salvation and they never get saved. And number two, we have people pray for salvation in their home and never get saved. I've had that experience, and many of you have had that experience also. Why is this verse important? Because this verse tells us that saved people abide, remain, and continue. Now I want to demonstrate that truth by contrast. And the reason I'm using contrast is because this chapter uses contrast. It uses the contrast of the unsaved with the saved throughout. And without reading those verses right now, verses that show the contrast, 18 and 19 show the contrast of lost people. 22 and 23 that we just read show the contrast of lost people as opposed to saved people. So I'd like to demonstrate this truth by contrast. And the truth is, saved people abide, remain, continue. The first contrast is phony Christians fade. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I believe this is most specifically for the minister type, the Antichrist. However, the principle certainly is true of the average phony Christian also. And it is completely consistent with what Jesus taught in the parable of the sower. Please turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to come back to 1 John. But turn to Matthew chapter 13. We'll look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is about people who, when the word of God is preached, many don't get saved and some do get saved. The parable of the sower shows you some things about the lost and the saved. And we're just going to read verse 18 through 21 of Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 18 through 21. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. In other words, a person comes to a service like this, or you're talking to them about their soul, and they don't understand it. They hear it, but they don't understand it. And the wicked one, Satan, you know, snatches it away, and they're lost. Verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, notice verse 27 says this person hears it and receives it. Hears it and receives it. This is just like the person that walks down the aisle. You lead him in the sinner's prayer. He received it, but he didn't get saved. And the next verses tell us, the next words tell us that in verse 21. Yet hath not root. Okay? He hears, he receives, but there's no root. The root is salvation. And he endures for a while. Okay? Phony Christians fade. He endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That's the end of it. And that's another reason why God's people in God's local church will go through times of trial and tribulation, so that God will actually weed out some of the people who are the phony Christians who will fade. Now, what I have noticed is that many people who are in trouble fall into this category. They're in trouble, and they receive the word gladly, and they fade. I noticed it. I remember a man, I went to his house, and I knocked on his door, and he opened the door, and, there he was, didn't have a shirt on or anything, looked pitiful.
And he said, "Boy, am I glad to see you."
Now, he'd come out to church for the first time Sunday, and I was out to see him that week. He said, "Boy, I'm glad to see you." And you know how good that makes you feel, right? I mean, that makes you feel, when you're bearing the gospel, and they say they're glad to see you, you think that's the greatest thing in the world. And so he said, "You know, I've been sitting here, just before you came, I was sitting here thinking about taking my life." And, you know, now you're thinking, boy, you know, the Lord got me here in the nick of time. So I went through the word with him, and the reason he was thinking of taking his life is because he had got caught with his hand in the till at work to the tune of $300. And they were about to throw him in jail. And so he was very, very much in trouble. And so I told him, I said, "You know, if you get saved, God isn't going to spill out the $300 for you, and he's not going to keep you out of jail if that's what you deserve. But you need to get saved anyway." And with many other words, I exhorted him. And he said, "All right." And he asked the Lord to save him. And he was all joyful, and he was all happy. And he said a load was lifted off of him. And he came to church. And he came for a number of weeks. But the truth is, the phony Christian will fade. And he soon fell back into all of his sin, which had characterized his life. And I talked to him. And when I found out that he just had no interest anymore, I was hurt. I still get hurt every time somebody fades. You do too, right? You do. Don't you think the Lord Jesus Christ does even more? But Jesus knows what we don't know at the time that they pray. Jesus knows that it was not true repentance. That it's not wholehearted. That it is the surface, but it was not root. Received it gladly, but there was no root. They must receive the fact that Jesus died for them and can save them gladly, but that must be the end of it, and they don't really repent, and they don't really mean that they want Christ to save their soul and dwell in them and make them a new creature. I can't really say that we can understand what's wrong, but the Bible says they receive it gladly, but there is no root. Phony Christians fade. And when the time comes, persecution comes, they're offended, and that's it. Saved people abide, remain, continue. Another contrast is that phony Christians fool. There are those that put on the appearance of being saved at the appropriate moment. These are people that don't fade from the local church. They can stay in the local church in many cases because they're phony Christians that fool. Certain services, they're there. At a certain time, they're there. At a certain time of the week, they must keep up an appearance of being saved. And if you look back at 1 John, chapter 2 again, on verse 27, you notice the difference here. It says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." It's talking to saved. The anointing abideth in you. What do you think it means, abide in you? It means it's part of you. It's part of you. Like your skin is part of you. Like the intestines that you've never seen inside of you are part of you. He abideth in you. He's always there. Not in and out. Always there. Abideth in you. That's true of the saved. It is not a faith worship on Sunday. It is the person of God living in you as part of you. He's just as real and important to you all week long as He is on Sunday. The only difference is that Sunday is the day we have open to give over to Him. That's the difference. But the phony Christians that fool, they appear on Sunday. The rest of the week, they live as a lost person. They may cheat someone like a lost person would do. They may lie to people like lost people would do. They would lust like lost people lust. And they will keep up a phony facade of respectability like other lost people keep up their facade of respectability. And they will show up at their church like other lost people show up at their church, except with some lost people, their church is a Bible-believing church. Phony Christians fool. You know, it doesn't take much to learn the way of salvation and say you believe it, does it? God made the way of salvation simple enough so that someone who was disadvantaged in their brain, so that they weren't real swift in their brain, how had an injury or something of that nature, could still understand enough that they were a sinner, Christ died for them, and they could be saved. The Lord made it simple enough so that a phony Christian can also hear it and understand exactly the plan of salvation so that he can repeat it to somebody else. It's simple enough to do that. And yet there be no repentance, no true desire for Jesus Christ, but just be able to repeat, this is the way of salvation. It's not that difficult. It is also not that difficult to learn how to pray. Because in prayer, we're just lifting up our heart to Almighty God. And if you say it in Jesus' name and you ask for the thing, if you've heard people pray for a while, you could pray like a Christian prayed and not be saved. And they can fool people. Judas fooled people. He fooled the other disciples. They didn't notice his preaching was any different than their preaching. Remember, they went out two by two and somebody went with Judas and didn't notice that his preaching was any different than anybody else's. Judas spent all day with Jesus for 3 years and still wasn't abiding in Christ. How do you know who's saved? Well, the truth is right here in 1 John 3:24. Start from the middle. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall what? Remain in you. If it remains in you, there's an if there. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. If you've got it, it remains and you continue. That's what the Bible says. Phony Christians fool. I think the worst part of this is that many phony Christians fool themselves. And they think that they're okay with God. Do you know how I know that? Now turn back to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. We're just going to pick this parable up at the end. There's only one thing I want you to see about it. It's a picture of the feast in heaven, or at least the feast. All these people are sitting around. And verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And that wedding garment is a picture of salvation. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, and few are chosen. Now, verse 13 lets you know that the man was lost, because he's bound, and he's cast into outer darkness. So you know the man's lost. But he's with some people who are saved. They have on the wedding garment. He doesn't have a wedding garment on. And the king comes to him and said, how come you don't have a garment? And he was speechless. Do you see this verse like I see this verse? He was speechless. He couldn't believe it. That's the picture I get. He says, how come you don't have a wedding garment on? You're lost. I can't believe it. Oh, you know, I always thought I was all right. I didn't think I needed that. I didn't think I needed to be that extreme. I didn't think I needed to be that fanatical. I have a garment on. I have your garment on, you know. I thought I could do this without a garment. He was speechless. Hellbound, but he thought he belonged with God's people. He was speechless. You see, the phony Christian sadly probably fools himself. Thinks he is. Listen to me, counselor. When I say counselor, I mean you may be called on to lead somebody to the Lord that comes forward at the end of a service. You may go to a home and talk to somebody about their soul to try to lead them to the Lord. But especially at the end of a service, when you're leading someone to Christ, be bold. That's the time to be bold. That's the time we get a little bit timid. We don't want to lose the fish, you see. We want to get them in the boat of salvation. And we want to nurse them along. That's a time to be bold. You know why? Because they are under conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why they might have come down the aisle. That's why they might have said yes if you're speaking to them about their soul in the home. And at that moment, they may either completely repent and get saved, or they may give lip service to salvation. So bring out the truth. Bring out the truth then. That is the very best time to let them know the truth of what it means to get saved. Now, what is the truth that I'm talking about? And it's this, and I believe you ought to tell them this when you're dealing with them. There are two ways to know that you are saved forever. There are two ways to know that you can know as a person you're saved forever. One is the contract, and the other is the abiding, remaining, continuing. I said, this is how you can know. I didn't say this is how you get saved. This is how you can know whether you're saved. The first is, God has a contract. He's got a salvation contract. And God has fulfilled His part, and He will fulfill His part of the contract when you ask Him for salvation. If you believe right and you ask Him, He will fulfill His part of the contract, and that contract, like anything else about God, can never be broken. If you entered into your contract in truth, you are saved forever, and nothing can change that. God will see to it that His contract is not broken. So if you entered into a contract in truth, without motive, you're secure. And number two, you'll know you entered in truth if you remain, abide, and continue. That's how you'll know. You can go back and say, I remember, I saw it in the Word of God, I needed to be saved, and God promised it, and I believed His promise, and I asked Him, and I know He promised me, so I know that I fulfilled that contract. And then you'll know that you did that in truth if you abide and remain and continue, because He's in you. You can't do anything else. And you can say to that individual you're leading to the Lord, and you ought to say, friend, when you go out tomorrow and you tell your friends, your co-laborers, or whatever, that you came to church and you asked Christ to save your soul, they're going to tell you, don't go to that church. You ought to tell them that right off, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to say, don't go to that church. And you simply say to them, if you're really saved, you say to them, that's where I got snatched out of hell fire, and that's where I'm going. And you see, if the person is saved, they will remain. If you have it, if you have salvation, child of God, you may fall to temptation. You may fall to temptation. You may sin. You might disappoint yourself. As a matter of fact, if you really understand God, you probably disappoint yourself the rest of your life. But you will abide, and you will remain, and you will continue. And that's the other way that you know that you're saved, because you remain. Now let me give you a whole batch of scriptures if you're ready to use your fingers for a while. John 8. I'm going to take these in order in scripture to make it easy. So John 8. Then said, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. What's it say? If you continue. How do you know you're His disciples indeed? If you continue, that's how you'll know. That didn't say that's how you get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that's how you get saved. It says, that's how you know you are a disciple's truth, if you continue in the Word. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That tells us that people can believe in vain, doesn't it? It tells us they can believe in vain. That means they didn't get saved if they believed in vain. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you. You know what? A saved person never forgets what it was like when they get saved. Never. I don't care who you ask, how you get saved. When you ask somebody, how did you get saved? Saved people, they love to tell you, and they're very clear about what happened. They are very clear about what happened, because it was the most important thing that ever happened to them. And you know, as weak as your brain ever gets, you don't forget the most important thing that ever happened to you. He says, if you keep in memory. Now, people that are very hazy about how it happened, you've got a problem. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 2 We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. There it is again. You can receive the grace of God in vain. That's a phony Christian. They received it, but it was not in truth. It had no root. It was in vain. Colossians 1:21. A few more books of the Bible. Go to Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, you see, if you continue in the faith, you know you have all those things. Because if you're saved, you will continue. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. You want to see that conditional word? If. We will see it again in two verses here. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? And we belong to him if we hold it to the end. The Bible never teaches us that we need to perform a certain way for so long to get saved. What it teaches us is that we can tell if we have it, if we continue. Because if you have it, you'll continue unto the end. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto